With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey gang, welcome back to Marriage Therapy Radio. I'm Zach, I'm here with Laura. Thanks for sticking with us. It's been a crazy couple weeks for the podcast, but we're glad that you're here. Today, we're actually answering a couple of listener questions just to get back in touch with the things that you want to hear about. And as always, if you want to have us weigh in on what's on your mind, send us an email. It's at info@forbetter.us. We always like knowing what you want to hear about. And as always, it's a cool conversation. Stick around. It's been a little while since we talked to each other.
I know. I kind of feel a little talked out, to be perfectly honest, which is, it'll be interesting. I have a full load tonight. Full load, yeah. In case you're listening, means that I have a busy schedule. I don't have a dirty diaper. I just have a beginning to end work week. But I realized
that. You have a full load. And just a couple minutes ago, you were telling me about your tiny balls.
My tiny balls.
Your little balls.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's my first world problems that I'm having. I'm researching. When you know, you know. But if you're a cloth napkin person, which in the Pacific Northwest, you're going to find a lot of people will go more toward reusable products. So I use cloth napkins. And the problem is that I also have to iron those napkins if I want them to be flat and look nice. And so I'm looking, my napkins come out of the dryer as tiny balls. So I have a big load and tiny balls. You're welcome. For all of those who like the cheap jokes.
I like paper towels.
Mm-hmm. There was a time in my life when I tried to go without paper towels and without toilet paper in my household.
Okay.
Yeah. See, I think some people are like, yeah, Laura, I get it. With the pandemic, the toilet paper was an issue and now everybody has bidets, but I think most people enjoy.
I think everybody doesn't have bidets.
No, I had some clients that were trying the squeeze bottle thing where they like buy the squeeze bottles. It basically, Moving on. So what has your life been like? What's new? What's happening in your world? How's your finger?
I have a sore finger. It's all better. And now I'm in occupational therapy. So I just have these exercises I'm supposed to do all the time.
Yeah. You can probably do them while you're sitting and working with clients, right?
I do. Yeah, I totally do. Did I tell you a couple weeks ago I forgot how to do the Rubik's Cube?
No, that's what you're doing right now?
That's what I'm doing right now. Yeah,
you just brought it up into frame so I could see. I was wondering with the tinkering around, if you were also wondering.
My whole brain forgot how to do it. And then I had to go back and figure it out again. But I recovered my brain.
Do you know what has been a game changer for me is I go for these daily walks and it has been the most incredible thing. I have discovered that I love the outdoors. I know that's kind of weird. I've never been a walker, but now I'm kind of I'm becoming my mother. I'm just slowly evolving into my mom. And now I do these 1 hour long walks by the river with my dog. And it's been the most game changing experience where I'm able to just really connect with my thoughts. And I love it.
Cool.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, we have some listener questions.
Okay.
By the way, can you see in my background? Do you see what I have up in, do you see what I'm pointing at?
Looks like, oh yeah. It's what's his name? Olaf.
It's Olaf. Yeah. So when I interviewed Hiram, without you, I put Olaf in the background and he noticed and I just was like, and he still stays there. So now he's part of my office. You know, Zach and I are fans of getting support, especially during abnormally stressful times like these, and that is why we have partnered with BetterHelp to put you in contact with licensed professional counselors in your area. Tap into the world's largest network of licensed, accredited, and experienced counselors who can help you with a range of issues, including depression, anxiety, relationships, trauma, grief, and more. With BetterHelp's counselors, you get the same professionalism and quality that you would expect from an in-office office counselor with the ability to communicate when and how you want. The matching process is quick but thorough, and you have the ability to communicate with your therapist how you like it, messaging, over the phone, or video conferencing. I know in-person therapy sessions aren't feasible right now, but don't let that stop you from getting the support that you need. The cost is less than half of what Zach and I charge, which is kind of unheard of. So when you register with BetterHelp, you're supporting Marriage Therapy Radio so that we can keep doing what we love to do. Go to trybetterhelp.com/MTR to register and receive a special discount on your first month with BetterHelp. Okay, so this is a listener. A listener wrote in, and so we're going to help her with, two listeners today that wrote in, and I didn't want to answer the other one, so these are the ones I'm answering. So she's been listening to the podcast, and she's really been soaking up a whole bunch of information with regards to like parenting and homeschooling, because, oh my goodness gracious. So it looks like she has two children that are home. And what's coming up for her is feeling like she really wants to get on the same board or on the same page with her partner, her male partner. And ever since the pandemic hit, her husband's been making a great deal more money. She's been making less money because she's working less, staying home with the kids. And
by the way, does that make you like, do you care about that? Does that make you mad?
What?
That like, it's so, I mean, it's women that are having to bear the brunt of this, like sort of, dual relationship thing, right? Where they have to do the schooling and the leaving their, you know, doing their jobs. And
no, I mean, yes and no. I think, I have,
you know what? Doesn't make me mad either. I'm not mad anymore. Forget I asked.
not mad. No, but I will say that I don't see that as a split. I think it's been couples having to get really creative with their job, because some people, like I've talked to quite a few, strangely enough, like quite a few engineers, and the engineers are kind of like, well, you know, my job isn't necessarily like on a timeline. I'm working on these big projects. I have more chunks during the day where I can, you know, like clock in, clock out. I just think couples have been getting really creative, but I wouldn't say that I find that women are having to bear the brunt of the double shift with homeschooling children.
Do you know my engineer story?
No, I would love to hear it though.
So a couple of years ago I went to, I guess I have like a fake niece, you might call her. She's like my best friend's daughter. Anyway, she's graduating from preschool in Virginia. And so I went to her preschool graduation. And all the kids got to stand up and say, this is what I want to be when I grow up. And, you know, and it's, you know, all this stuff. And in this particular part of Virginia, Northern Virginia, there were lots of, engineers, like structural engineers or mechanical engineers or, whatever, engineers, the smart kind.
All engineers are the smart kind, but go on.
Sort of. I mean, yes, but. So I'm hearing these kids like, when I grew up, I want to be an engineer. And then somebody would say, when I grew up, I want to be a firefighter. And then the next kid, I want to be an engineer. And the next kid was like, I want to be a baker. And the next kid, engineer. And the next kid is like, I want to be a professional gymnast. Next kid, engineer, like all these engineers. And I was like, wow, that's crazy. Because I grew up in Southwest Virginia, and the main sort of industry in Southwest Virginia is the railroad. And so I hear engineer and I'm like, you want to drive a train? Wait, and you want to drive a train? And wait, you also want to drive a train? All these like kids want to drive a train. And it took me like, I don't know, half a day to realize that they didn't want to be train engineers or conductors. They wanted to be like their parents, you know, like the smart kind of engineer. Not that train engineers are not smart. I'm sure they are. I'm sure they're very smart.
Yeah.
I would never want to drive a train, but that's my engineer story.
Is it called drive a train? You know how like you fly a plane? Is it drive a train?
I don't know.
It sounds wrong to me though. It really does. It doesn't sound right. I'm just going to say. Okay. So in true Zach and Laura fashion, we are completely derailed from me trying to even
derailed
this question.
Derailed. That happens to a train.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
You did. You did that on purpose.
Okay.
No, you didn't.
I didn't at all. No. My brain doesn't work it that fast. Okay.
It doesn't
so here's
come up
the issue.
With puns.
The issue is that she really wants to feel confident talking to her partner about parenting because she's soaking up all this information. But she finds that whenever she brings it up, he's often critical and skeptical and even downright dismissive of new information and ideas. He's extremely rational. She feels like she needs to sell new approaches to him. Ha ha, he's a lawyer. So, I mean, that happens. But I was reading this and I'm like, I know we can talk about this because guess who is the queen of dismissing new ideas? This gal. This one right here. I'm pointing at myself.
Okay.
I'm the queen of dismissing. Like if you're the king of I'm tired, Zach. I can't think of words right now.
You know what you are, the queen of dismissing? I literally know that you have your phone in your hand. You're literally holding your phone while talking to me and
Zach, I'm looking at you on my phone. Can you see?
No. I'm saying to you, like, this is what you're the queen of dismissing. We're having a conversation, a text conversation, meaning you have your phone in your hand and we're like in the middle of a conversation and I'll say, okay, how about this? And then like Kaiser Soze, you're just gone.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know I'm dismissive. I know it drives you bonkers. It drove you bonkers. Yeah. Yeah. We have our own like relationship
literally
issues
that
we work
through. How about
this?
And you're like,
nobody can see what you're doing. I just ignore it. But I do have a really hard time. So like, I feel for this woman because my husband didn't complain about this because I don't think he like was hip to the fact that I was incredibly dismissive, but I can tell you that I am super dismissive and I'm working on it every single day to try and hear new ideas that he brings to my attention, says, hey, you know what? I think this would be a really good idea if we spent our money in this way or invested in this company in this way or whatever it might be. And for my reaction to be like, wow, okay, what? Tell me more about that. Even though my brain says, that's a horrible idea. I didn't come up with it first. And I think that's a really bad idea. So
well,
I can understand the frustration.
So I don't know who we're talking to here, whether it's this lady who sent in the note or the husband, but you know, what you're doing is the thing that I do a lot, which is I just start with yes. I'm just like, yeah, totally. That sounds great. And then it gives me time to think about it and think about what I really think about it. But what she's having is the experience of saying, I have this idea and I guess she's running up against no all the time.
Yes.
You know, and,
Correct. I mean,
which is really, it's a myth, right? This guy says no, or he refuses to consider an idea and he thinks that's the way that he's, sort of maintaining power or control or influence. And in reality, what he's doing is he's giving it away because ultimately what's going to happen is she's going to stop asking him what he thinks, you know?
Yeah.
And start going around him or navigating around him.
Oh, so this does, I asked you earlier, I was like, have we ever talked about this on the podcast? But I know for sure that we have, because, I gave some examples of times when people start to go around their partners, when they feel like the response is always going to be a no, that when you ask your partner or you suggest something and your partner doesn't even consider it, that's what we're talking about. It's not just like you plead your case and then your partner kind of goes back and forth and says, nah, I don't think that's a great idea. It's not even that. It's you don't even get to the part where you get to plead your case. And it's kind of sad, although I think it is kind of smart where she says, you know, I think a lot of people kind of feel like they have to present their case in such a way where their partner is going to hear them. And I agree with that. I think that if you want anything, you really do have to consider who your audience is and you have to present it in such a way. Like,
well, she used the verb sell.
I have to sell my husband. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I think that a lot of people feel like they have to, and it is kind of like, you do kind of have to sell it. You need the buy-in is how I put it. It's like, if you have something that's important to you, you do kind of have to sell and convince your partner like, hey, this is important to me. I'd really like it to also be the way you think about this. And I'd really like for you to consider this. And I do think it is important to sell your partner. I think it's important to consider your audience and feel like you are going to say, this is why it's important to me. This is kind of what I'm thinking and considering. What do you think about this?
Yeah, I don't know, man. The other thing that's really hard about this is the part where she brings in this idea of he makes a lot more than me. Like, so somehow he gets to, I don't know, be above or sort of be kind of float above the parenting thing.
And
I
think power.
It's about power, but it's money is so hard because people, like I've said this a billion times. The hardest thing about money is that you can measure it. And so because I make more money, maybe I have more power. But the reality is that, you know, that's one economy in a relationship. It's just one of them. And I think I've mentioned this on the podcast before too, but like, I think I saw this, one of these, what do they call those things?
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Where they have pictures and infographic.
Yeah. Yeah.
About like a stay-at-home mom and how she's really worth like $380,000 a year or something because she's like, she's like the chef and the chauffeur and the CEO and the tutor and the nanny and the housekeeper and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
And that stuff doesn't get measured, right? You can't measure that stuff. And then you come back down into this like idea of parenting, which really does require two people to sort of combine their economies on behalf of like the bigger system, right? The, the system at large. So,
So, I mean, obviously with parenting, she does need his buy-in.
Unless she doesn't, right? I mean, I think there are certain parts of his life or their life that he's in charge of that she has no influence in. And maybe parenting is the part that she needs, to go, hey, I don't actually need your opinion here because this is my lane. So I don't know. I wouldn't necessarily recommend it, but I think choices have consequences and that's, you know, part of the deal there.
Yeah. Well, I do find that like, even though that's her lane, if parenting is her lane, she's homeschooling. So maybe her lane is more like, hey, I'm going to decide like the curriculum that we use for the kids. And this is the amount of time that we're going to spend outdoors. And I'm going to decide on, you know, something that's related to homeschooling. But when it comes to parenting, if she's reading some new things and she's saying, oh, you know what, I kind of feel like we might be doing this wrong. I feel like maybe we need to be disciplining differently. I think that is something that she needs to run by her partner. And I think people are so much more accepting if you say, hey, here's some things that I read. I think it's really fascinating. I would love to know your thoughts and opinions. And maybe that's the way to take this approach with her partner because we don't have, I mean, she's asking, she's emailing us and she said, what do I do about this? And the problem is that I can't change your partner and give him the ability to like be more willing to yield to you. But what I can do is help you to approach your partner differently in that you're more likely to get the response that you're looking for, which is openness, just the consideration. And I think more of the conversation of, hey, what do you think about this? I read this. I think it's pretty interesting. What do you think? And he might be like, I have no idea. I haven't read anything on this topic. And that might shut him down. Or, you know, you send him an article and you're like, I thought this was super fascinating. What do you think about this? Let's have a conversation. And I think people are more likely to engage in the conversation if they are asked their opinion versus told what they should think.
By indirection, find direction out. It's from Hamlet, but it reminds me of like this idea of like, how you can't always just be like barging in the front door. Sometimes you have to kind of sneak in the back door and just like already be in the kitchen. And she needs to figure out how to make him think that her idea is his.
Here's some interesting research. If I can find it, I would love to share with you. Do you remember the statistic on what happens when husbands don't accept influence? Do you remember that statistic that we learned about?
No, not specifically.
Gosh. Oh, I think it's really interesting. It's this idea that when it comes to like the difference, the fundamental difference between males and females, females are much more likely to accept influence, meaning that your male partner comes to you and says, and this is in heterosexual relationships, they come to you and they say, hey, I think, you know, oh, this is what's going on with we're getting ready to sell our house and we're going to have some profit because the market's popping right now. And so my husband comes to me and says, hey, I really think that we should invest our money, our profit in this way.
Wait, you, Laura Heck, are getting ready to sell your house?
Yeah. Our house in Salt Lake.
Oh.
Yeah. So we've had that house now for a year, but the market is just bonkers right now, and it's pretty amazing. Okay, I'm not gonna find the statistic, but The statistic is that it's just that females in general are much more likely to hear their partner's opinions and thoughts and ideas on how something should be done and are much more willing to yield. I'm not saying like concede. I'm just saying they're much more willing to go, oh, okay, well, I mean, if that's important to you, let's talk about it. That sounds really interesting. As opposed to what this woman is writing in, and she's saying, my partner sometimes completely dismisses my concern or my thought. And that falls more likely on men than it does on women. Just an interesting statistic, just a fact.
Okay. All right.
That's all I got.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to move to our second question that came in.
Okay.
So let me see if I can find it here. I've really enjoyed, by the way, if you are a listener and you want to email us, info@forbetter.us is where you're going to find our inbox. Okay. So this is she says she wants to talk about interactions with her significant other during a busy work week.
Okay.
I asked my husband of 10 plus years, why don't you call or text? He doesn't get the hint, and then he gives up. I figure if he's thinking about me, he will show it, which when I read that, I was like, no, nope. He says he doesn't have any time, but I'm a firm believer that people make time for what's important. So what says you, Zachary Brittle?
Well, I mean, yeah, totally. We make time for things that are priorities to us. So, what he's saying is talking to you is not a priority. Mm-hmm. Now, if he's saying, oh, no, talking to you is a priority, well, then you make time. And I don't think this has to be hard. I've been having this conversation with a lot of people lately, which is this idea of how, like, let's say your relationship, you're going to rate it on a scale of 1 to 6. In this case, let's call it emotional intimacy. And they're at like a 2, maybe a 3.
Mm. Okay.
The problem is people gets... They stall themselves because they go, well, I'll never get to a 6. What do you want me to do? Like buy you flowers every day? You want me to call you every 5 minutes and have a conversation with you about your feelings? Oh, no, you dummy. Like, that's not what we're talking about at all. I'm talking about how do you move your 3 to like a 3.5? And so my boy, listen, I bet he goes to the bathroom. I bet during the day he has to like get rid of his lunch.
He has a solid sit down for 5+ minutes.
You had time to text your wife and say, how you doing? Like, and listen, I know we're not talking to him. I guess it's her that wrote us in. But I think part of what we need to do is broaden the conversation around what does it mean to move the needle and figure out how to go from 2 to 2.5 versus not doing anything because I can't get to a 6, you know? So, and I think I think there's some education here. Like, I think if couples are really serious about, I have this whole homework assignment that I do with couples now and they're digging it, they're eating it up. But
are you going to tell me what it is?
Well, it's kind of this, right? It's kind of like, let's take a legit inventory of where you are on these sort of 5 categories. Let's find out where you are on a scale of 1 to 6. Maybe you're a 3 and a 4 and a 2 and a 5 and a 3. And then, let's talk about what would it take to get that 3 right there to a 3.5, not a 6, but like, cause I don't want you to be like, well, I can't do it. So,
it feels so overwhelming, right?
Like, I think if during lunch you just sent me a text that said, hey, what are you having for lunch? That would help me a lot. Like it's not going for to a 6. It's going, let's just let me know that around lunchtime you're interested in me. You know, or I think, and you know, if we could do this across the board, we could do it physically, sexually, spiritually, like.
I love that you do this. I do the same thing with my clients with the 5 facets of intimacy, just saying like we're on a scale.
If tonight when we watched our Netflix show, you just let me put my feet in your lap, like that would help me a lot. Like that would move my needle just a little bit.
I like that. I want to clarify and I kind of want to just like reword this a little bit for those of you who are listening and you're kind of like, well, I'm not one of Zach's clients. So like, what's the exercise? Cause they don't need you at this moment. Like our listeners could do this. If you are, you know, driving down the road next time you're doing this, I want for you to just ask your partner like, hey, on a scale of 1 to 6, how would you rate like 6 being holy moly, we are off the charts. Everybody's jealous of us. We are amazing in these 5 facets of intimacy. So there's intellectual intimacy, spiritual intimacy, physical intimacy, sexual intimacy, and spiritual, emotional intimacy. That's the one most people think about.
Yeah.
So those are the five facets on a scale of 1 to 6. And what you're basically saying is, how do we just move the needle? If you're feeling like a 2 when it comes to intellectual intimacy, what is it that maybe we could do to move your 2 to a 2.5 or a 2 to a 3? Some small things. And I think coming up with just a bunch of little ideas would be really cool.
Yeah. And I think the important thing to remember is, like, all of this is arbitrary. It's only meant to generate conversation. Your 2 might be his 4. It might be the exact same. But part of it is why? I mean, I think this is an important conversation. Somebody says 2, this is important. Why isn't it a 1? Why isn't it a 3? Mm-hmm. Like, tell me about 1. Tell me about 3. Like, all we're trying to do is generate or move the needle, right? And
yeah,
the cool thing about numbers is, you know, in this case, if Laura and I were partners and we each ranked ourselves, like, Laura would actually have an average about 3.5. And I might have an average around, 4.5. And that puts us both at a 4 as a couple. And so we can actually say, I think I can move my 3.5 to a 4 like this, or my 4.5 to a 5 like this, or our 4 to a 4.25 like this. I mean, there's lots of fun ways to play with it, particularly if you create a common, sort of a common baseline. And this is where this comes up for me, is people tell me, I've been working really hard on the relationship. I've been really working on it. And I'm like, wait a second.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? Like, what do you mean you're working on it? Because if you're trying to work on bench pressing your body weight, we know what you're doing, right? You're mastering your form at a lower manageable weight. You know, you're getting your, you know, you're building up your tolerance. You're increasing weight time and again. You're letting your body recover. Yeah. You're getting your, your steroids. You're taking your steroids and making sure you.
Okay.
But you know what I mean? Like, you're.
We get it. We get it. Zach.
But we know what you're working on. Like, we can actually see you working on it versus the relationship. I'm like, wait, what are you doing? Like, what are you measuring? Mm-hmm. And so this is just a way to kind of measure it and make it manageable. And then week over week, you can look at it and go, oh yeah, hey, look, we went from a 4 to a 4.25.
A little stronger. Yeah. A couple of things are interesting. I tend to ask couples a lot, which is like, hey, at the beginning of a session, I want to look at what's going well in the relationship. And what I say is like, what have you been doing in the last week or two that has impacted the relationship positively? And what I love is what I'll say is, what are the things either seen or unseen? Because impacting the relationship positively could be output, could be behavior, how you choose to like massage your partner, text your partner, check in on them, whatever it might be, like find the sweet little gifts to bring them home, whatever. That might be visible, but you might be impacting the relationship in a positive way based on how you choose to look at your partner, like the lens that you're looking at your partner through, changing your mindset. I have a lot of partners right now, like their soul focus is just getting healthy as individuals. Right now, like one person is just, I'm going to therapy. I am working on my depression. I'm choosing to focus on me so that I can show up as a better individual.
I get that.
And I really like asking that question of like, how are you positively impacting your relationship, or how have you been in the last couple of weeks, and it may, seen or unseen? And it's kind of cool because sometimes partners will go, okay, like that's cool. I didn't realize that that's something that you were doing. And it just gives them an opportunity to kind of toot their horn. Here's something else that I wanted to mention. Listener who wrote in, you said, I'll ask my husband of 10 plus years, why don't you call or text? And if I was this woman's partner and the complaint was, why don't you call or text? I will tell you that I'm much more likely to show up in different ways now that she has just outed me and complained that I don't call or text. Does that make sense? Like, I'm way more likely to do something if I know, if my partner is affirming. So I guess my response to our listener is, when your partner does something that makes you feel like he's thinking about you, he's turning towards you, affirm him in the moment, give him the attaboy and be like, wow, I love it when you do that for me. That really makes me feel loved. And I think when you affirm someone, it makes them want to do that thing more often. It makes them feel like the hero, like, oh yeah, I got this. My partner really likes it when I do this. I'm going to do more of it. As opposed to you saying like, you never call or text. Well, next time I think about calling or texting you, I'm going to remember this conversation of when you were not very nice and told me that I'm a loser.
Yeah.
Anyway,
well, it's that other thing, right? Like, hey, that time you texted me during your lunch hour, that was amazing. You know, like,
yes,
exactly what you're saying. Just sort of, that's the thing I was saying earlier about let him think that what he's doing is already what he's doing versus he's doing what you want him to do, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, I mean, it's kind of like this idea of gentle startup is like, you can tell your partner like, hey, you know what? Like, it really hurts me when you don't reach out during the day and that you don't take time to just, you know, like say, hey, how are you doing? Versus saying, hey, you know what you did last week? You know, when you just like called me on your way home just to check in, I really, really loved that. It makes me feel super loved. You can say the same thing in different ways. And one is more affirming and the other one is like the positive need. And the other one is more like, I'm really having a hard time with this. Yeah. It's received in a lot of, in a better way, I think.
I dig it.
Yeah. Me too.
I gotta go. Like, I literally gotta go. So.
I know.
Did you say land this plane?
Let's land this plane.
Goodbye.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. This episode was brought to you by BetterHelp. If you are interested in either individual or even couples therapy or therapy for your teenager or your child, BetterHelp is an amazing resource for you. Virtual therapy with therapists in your area through whatever medium you like. If you're interested in going and checking it out, try betterhelp.com/MTR to receive a discount since we are partnered with BetterHelp. It's BETTER help, HELP.com/MTR for Marriage Therapy Radio. Thanks for all of your time and attention, making your relationship better today than it was yesterday.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.